Dear Nicholas, this was a letter written by Z. Charnot, Thursday, July the 3rd, 1997. Dear Nicholas, friend, associate, and co-inhabitant of Earth, I am more and more strongly aware of the truth and the importance of the truth. You don't need to know what's wrong in order to know what's right. Very early in my scheme enlarging experience, I learned that there are two orientations of consciousness. The two orientations of consciousness are characterized by two questions. One, what am I experiencing? And two, what am I creating? Usually, when and as we posture or we orient the consciousness with the question, one, what am I experiencing? There is a parenthetical belief, what am I experiencing at the hands of others? In such a case, during and as we so orient our consciousness, we view ourselves as victims and powerless. We view others as enemies, obstructors, detractors, accusers, critics, etc. We are neither aware nor are we believing that we are responsible for all of what we experience. Our choices, our beliefs, our thoughts, our imaginings, that to which we direct our attention and that from which we withhold our attention, either combines well or combines poorly with those same patterns on the part of others. We think and we believe that we can think whatever we want, imagine whatever we want, say whatever we want, direct our attention to whatever we want, neglect or ignore whatever we want as some group of freedoms or rights, as long as we don't do anything about it. Ethical and moral constraint only applies to our actions with such a belief and the pursuit of such a kind of freedom. The fundamental belief in responsibility and opportunity granted by a delay in consequences is mistakenly displaced in a belief that a delay in consequences for our thoughts, imaginings, etc., means there are no consequences. This is because we have been culturally conditioned to believe that if we do not know when or how such consequences occur, perhaps they never will. The cultish belief that we live only one life contributes to this. The cultish belief that there is only one possible consequence of death, heaven or hell, also contributes to this. We abdicate responsibility and we evade and we avoid anything and everything which tells us or shows us that we bear the responsibility with no time off. There is an aspect of greater responsibility and empowerment when we orient the consciousness with question 2, what am I creating? However, it also matters in whose belief we create. If we create in our own belief, directly, primarily, or solely, our destiny remains one of separation, isolation, and alienation. We separate, we isolate, and we alienate by means of the boundary of self, self-definition, and the furnishings of self in self-interest. Ignorance and fear are consciously seen as a core of misspent and misdirected life, but a much more fundamental or rudimentary core of misspent and misdirected life is self-defining. The Gnostic teaching that self is the only sin is on target. We must not only posture or orient the consciousness with the correct question, what am I creating, but we must also make sure that we are creating in behalf of the greater oneness, that we are creating with our minds, not mostly or only with our actions. Doing is a meager and tactical form artifact of our strategic being. What is right can be contrasted with what is wrong. but to be guided by the barriers at the extremities, at the edge of the road, is to fill one's life with graceless collisions, impacts, and violent encounters. Alternatively, we direct our attention to a nourishing flow. Whenever the flow diminishes, nourishing flow supplies our needs. Our needs are determined by our functions, the functions we accept as responsibilities. Some situate in their loneliness, in their fear, in their pain, between you and what you need. They require that you diminish their loneliness, offset their fear, soothe their pain, give them what they want, in order for you to get what you need. You may be tempted to forfeit worthy functions in order to get out of range of the blackmail. I have been. You may be tempted to give them what they want. I have been. We need to be discerning, discriminating, determined, dedicated, persistent, and consistent. It is life we seek, life we support, life we enjoy. We don't just live, we enliven. So what is right is clear. Physiology is the functioning of an organism. An organism is a kind and a degree of order which life expresses. Pathologies are infinite. The paradigm of diagnosing what's wrong and offering remedy is endless. As Dennis Miller observed, the world is unfixable. We move through cycles, constructive, edifying, and evolving cycles. We live overshadowed by benevolent promptings, a bias for good, an enlivening challenge. Ever and always, we are deployed at a frontier of creation. We are invited, we are wooed, we are welcomed, not to rest, not to attain reward and pleasure or leisure, but to challenge, to refinement, and to responsibility. We are welcomed to disturbance. There is no final or ultimate act which certifies, validates, or assures rest, reward, and pleasure, or leisure. You may seek this, and you may gain this, but it is to discard the real opportunity of life, participating in the functioning of the universe, and helping to gain its greater oneness. We need to shatter the isms and synthesize the ologies, refuse the invariant defining and dividing, and embrace the variant, open, dynamic, and changing processes characteristic of life. So here I situate, suggesting you give up the pursuit of rest, of reward, of pleasure, or leisure. I suggest you seek responsibility, challenge, disturbance, and participation. I do. Warmest regards, Z.